with your Bibles in your hand, repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Okay, if you believe you're going to be fed, you know what to do. Make some noise. Amen. All right, let's get right into the word of God this morning. Today's title is called God Cares. God Cares. And so I want to give us a working definition of care. The provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. I'm going to read again. The provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. I came across a question that was asked by a person, and I'm going to go ahead and read. I'm paraphrasing it, not really reading it word for word, but it's something like this. I found it on the internet, and it was a person asking this question: is God really a personal God? Does he really care? Are there any scriptures that say so? Now, this seems like an easy answer to the question, but I kind of wanted us to take a moment and think through what he's really saying. He's not saying, is God cold-hearted? What he's asking is God really intimately cared into the details of human life, because he's got a great big universe to take care of? So since he has a great big universe to take care of, does he really care that I got a throbbing headache that's been bothering me the last couple days? Does he really care that the neighbor next to me is not the nicest neighbor? Does he really care that my foreman or my boss isn't always treating me correctly? He's overlooking me. Is he really a personal God, or is some of those things just some stuff that we're just supposed to live through ourselves on our own? It's actually not a bad question, because when you come to church, we make church so personal, but is that correct in scripture? We say things like, if your haters are bothering you, God's going to take care of you. But is that actually true? Does God really care so much about our haters? Does God care if you wear a weave or if you cut your hair? Does God care if you lose weight? Does God care what kind of car you drive? Does God care if you eat ice cream in the morning? How much does God really care? And if he is very, very personal, can you give me scriptures to let me know? And so people in the comments were giving him various scriptures. I'm going to lift out just one of them, but I just wanted to think through that. Does God really care personally? In other words, is he a personal God, or is he a God that's just taking care of the big stuff? Another example, just recently, Artemis, the astronauts that went and they went and traveled to the moon, they're showing pictures of what the Earth looked like. And in space, what the Earth looks like, it is big, but it's just one part of the universe. And so since God controls everything, he controls the entire universe, every galaxy, but not just every galaxy and every moon and star in the universe. In other words, we don't have the only moon and star in the universe. We only have the moon and star in the Milky Way galaxy, but they say there's billions of galaxies. So when you drill down, not only is there billions of galaxies, but when you drill down to Earth, there's oceans, there's trees, there's land, there's animals. There's birds, there's all kinds of things that God is taking care of. So is it true that he cares specifically for me with all that he has going on? Maybe the reason why God hasn't answered my prayers because my prayer is not that important in the grand scheme of everything that he's got going on. Not only is God dealing with what's going on at Deliverance Temple, he's dealing with what's going on at Union and Church of the Living God and churches all over the globe. So does he care when the mic goes out at Deliverance Temple and we say, God, fix the mics? Does he care down to the minute details? Because maybe we're just overthinking things and maybe we should just live. Does he really care that the gas prices are high? Does he really care that hamburger is high? Does he really care that they're trying to cut off my welfare? Does God care down to the details? That's what I believe he was actually asking, and I think it's a very good question. So he said, can you give me scriptures? So I just chose one of the scriptures that the people gave them. I didn't choose it myself. I just picked in the comments people, and they weren't bashing the person. They just threw some scriptures out there. And this one scripture I really like, Luke 12, starting at verse 27, says this, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are, just the lily of the field. Verse 28, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. And then here's the statement that was made next. Why do you have so little faith? In other words, so the question that makes us wonder if God cares, the problem doesn't lie with God's care. The problem normally lies with our faith. Or with our understanding. And so this is what Jesus was saying to the people as he was teaching. If you look at a flower and the flower is so well taken care of, the lily of the field, and the flower is going to live and it's going to die. That's why I really don't understand why women like flowers so much, because when I buy my wife flowers, within a few days, them things just start wilting and dying. But if I give her a bouquet of roses, oh, that's so sweet. But I'm thinking they're going to die in just a few days. But even though they're just going to die in a few days, doesn't mean that God didn't take his time and make the rose beautiful. He didn't take his time and make the lily beautiful. He didn't take his time and make the oak tree beautiful. So if God would take his time with the trees and the grass and take his time with the leaves, what do you think he will do with you? So the question is not, does God care? The question is, why don't I have faith in his care? So that's where we're going to preach from. We already answered the question. God cares. Yes, he does. He cares down to the minute details. Yes, he does care. Let me give you just a quick example. Just on yesterday, my wife sent me to go to a store, pick up something. And as I was leaving, my wallet wasn't in my car, but I was like, I don't feel like going back in the house and going back upstairs to grab my wallet. I'll just tap to pay with my phone. So I went and picked up the stuff. But when I got up to the register and pulled my phone out, they was like, we don't have tap to pay. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I got to go all the way home. And honestly, I was thinking, it's like, God, you could have prompted me. And you could have told me to grab my wallet so I didn't have to get all the way here and come all the way back. And then I called my wife and I was like, you didn't tell me they didn't have tap to pay. And she said, you didn't tell me you weren't taking your wallet. So anyway, I go on, go back home, get what I need to get. And when I got back home, my wife ended up giving me her card. I was like, no. She said, that way I ain't got to pay you back later. Just take my card. I'm like, well, actually, that is a better idea. Take your card. But then when I went back and walked into the store, I passed a lady, and the lady said, hey, are you Pastor Andre? And I was like, yes, I am. She said, yeah, I called your wife about some kids that was playing in front of the church, and they was cutting up, and I was making sure y'all knew it. I said, yes, we did hear about it. We just didn't know who called. Thank you for calling. She said, I got cameras, so I've been watching your church. I ain't never been to your church, but I'm checking, and I'm watching out for your church. So here's the thing. The reason why I left my wallet is so that I would bump into the woman at the right time. But see, I can't see that because of my finite understanding. So sometimes what's an inconvenience to you is God lining things up so you'll be at the right place at the right time. And the lady was on the phone, and somebody on the phone said, is that Pastor Andre? She said, yes, it is. So-and-so want to talk to you. I didn't even know who so-and-so was. I said, how you doing, sweetheart? She said, how you doing, Pastor Andre? God allowed me to leave my wallet so everything would line up the way it's supposed to. But here's the thing about life. We don't always learn in the moment why God allows what he allows. But you got to believe that God cares for me. So even when it don't look like it, even when it don't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem like it, you got to have faith in his care for you. That's why he asked us to be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, because he cares for us. It's actually his job. He told them at one time, I neither slumber nor do I sleep. And so there's no reason for you staying up when I'm not sleeping. I'll stay up, you go to sleep, because I care for you. All right, with that understanding, let's move forward and let's give us this. We're going to preach from these 5 points, 5 reasons why we have so little faith in God's care for us, because that's what the scripture says. Why have you so little faith? So let's start off with number one. Number one is our pride gets in the way. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, read that, Mother Mitchell.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yes, all right. Look at the next verse, which is very familiar.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
So it says he cares for you, and we are to cast our cares on him. But the previous verse says we have to humble ourselves, which means that when we don't humble ourselves, or we have pride, or here's another word, we have so much independence, it's hard for us to put our care on him, because number one, we can't see him. So it is up to me to do it myself, but that's not really what's supposed to be. Let me give you another example. So since my wife runs a daycare, and I've had children myself, and I've been a youth pastor, I've been around young kids and young people all of my life. And one thing that I've learned about young people who are extremely independent, even at a young age, at 1 or 2, this is what you hear them say: I can do it myself. You try to help them tie their shoes. I can do it myself. And as a mature person, you realize they can't do it themselves. But those really independent kids, and there's nothing wrong with being independent, but many times they have to let go of their independence to rely on someone else. And when kids are really stubborn, they'll knot their shoes all up. They won't be right. They'll try to stick it in, their foot in there, and they'll say, I got it. It's done. Be like, sweetheart, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. But they don't want to humble themselves because they feel like, I can do it myself. This is not just something that happens with toddlers. It happens with adults as well, that you're always trying to do stuff on your own, by yourself, and you forget that there's a God that cares for you. Put this up for me. The I can do it myself attitude can be your biggest hindrance. One of the things that happens in our life is when we get to doing things on our own and by ourselves and for ourselves, oftentimes it's not until we're frustrated that we remember to pray to God or to ask God because of our frustration. So this happens to me a lot. A lot of times I'll see something that needs to be done around the house. I'll pull out my tools and I'll get to doing it, get to working. And it's not until I'm ready to throw the hammer across the room because I'm so frustrated that I remember to say, God, can you help me? And I have to tell myself, stop asking God after I'm frustrated and start asking God before I even get into the project. Even though I can't see him, doesn't mean he's not intimately concerned about the details of my life. All right, look at John 15 and verse 5. Read that, mother.
Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
We have to remember that apart from him, we can do nothing. So that's why we have to rely on him and get pride out of the way. The last verse of this point is happens to be my life verse ever since I became a pastor. I'll go ahead and read it. It's very familiar. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So he has promised to direct thy paths, but we have to acknowledge him. In other words, we have to invite him in, or let me put it this way. We have to invite his care into our situation so he can help navigate us to where we need to be and where we need to go. So that leads me to this next point with understanding the paths. Number two, our plans get in the way. So our pride gets in the way, and then our plans get in the way, because oftentimes we get to planning, and there's nothing wrong with planning, but we get to planning without God. We get to dreaming without God. We get to saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The scripture says we should say, Lord, if it be your will, I'll do this or I'll do that. And it doesn't make us bad people. It makes us human, but we have to be careful that our plans don't get in the way, because then we will assume that God doesn't care for us because of the way our plans many times are different from his plans. His ways are different from our ways. So Proverbs 16:9, read that.
We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps.
This will save you a lot of trouble. You can make your plans, but God is the one who determines our steps. And so when our plans go against his determination, guess who's going to win in the end? God's going to win. And sometimes we frustrate ourselves because we don't include him into our planning process. Look at Psalms 37:23. It says this.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Verse 24.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
All right, put this up. This will help you too. When God is shifting us from our will to his will, we often stumble. So sometimes the stumbling that happens is not because we're bad people. It's God is shifting us and aligning us with his plan and with his purposes. So go ahead and add this to it. But God cares enough and stays close enough to get us back on track. For an example, when adults are teaching young people how to ride a bike, they start off by holding the back of the bike to give the child confidence. But at a certain point, they let go of the bike so that the child can ride alone. So there's nothing wrong with independence, but it's not just independence, it's interdependence. In other words, I need somebody guiding me. But what the adult does until they learn how to ride, they stay close enough just in case they wobble or fall, they can reach out their hand and they can grab and they can steady them until they get enough courage to go on out on their own. So many times when God is shifting us to his plan and he's ordering our steps, life gets a little shaky. What's sometimes funny is when we're doing things on our own, life don't always feel shaky. It feels like we got it until the bottom falls out. But when we are trusting God, it feels rough. It don't feel like it. Sometimes when we're trusting God, that's when the devil begins to mess with us. And sometimes we wonder, why is it so hard? But God is close enough to us to let us know that if you fall, I still got you. If you stumble, I'm right here. It reminds me of one of my favorite poems that we've seen down throughout the years. It's the Footprints in the Sand poem, where the man was saying that it seemed like in my life I saw two sets of footprints, but when life got hardest for me, I only saw one set of footprints. And the question I have for you, God, is why, when life is hard, that I only see one set of footprints? In other words, why, when life is hard, why did you leave me by myself? Why did you leave me alone? And the poem goes on to say that God gently says to him, when you saw one set of footprints, it's not that I left you, that's when I carried you. That's when I picked you up. And I'm here to let you know, when you trust God, it don't always feel right, but God many times is carrying you. He's holding you. He's embracing you. And that's why you can trust him, because in your roughest moments, in your weakest moments, in your worst moments, God will lift you up. God will pick you up. God will raise you up. He is the wind beneath your wings. He is the one that'll think for you and think through you and speak through you and speak for you. And sometimes you don't even know till you come out of it that it was God that held you through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God. I've learned that he won't leave me like he found me. And so I now begin to yield my pride to him, and I begin to yield my plans to him. Now let's add this possibility. Our head gets in the way. So if our pride gets in the way and our plans get in the way, our head gets in the way, our thinking. And I don't have it in here, but I've quoted it before. I'm going to quote it again. You'll see this in Isaiah 55. It says that my ways are higher than your ways. And it says my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So God thinks on a higher level than we can even comprehend or understand. So many times our thinking is much lower than his thinking. And so as long as we're thinking according to our own understanding, many times it gets in the way of faith in believing and trusting him. Let's look here at a story that we covered in Palm Sunday, or on Palm Sunday, but we're going to back up and give you a little more context. John 11:21 says what?
Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died.
This is a real thought. It is an honest thought. If you had have been here, it wouldn't have went the way it went. In other words, I hate to say it, God, but where were you? Why weren't you here? Why weren't you here? Because if you were here, things would have went a different way. The next verse.
But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask.
I do like Martha. She was confused, but she said, even now, though, I do know God will give you whatever you ask for. So here's the truth of the matter. Her head was in one place and her heart was in another. Her heart was believing, God, you can still do it. But her head was saying, why haven't you done it by now? Why didn't you do it this way? Why didn't you show up when I needed you to? Let's look at verse 23.
Jesus told her, your brother will rise again.
He spoke to her and said, your brother's going to rise again. So that would have been good news for her heart. But look what happens in verse 24.
Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day.
Jesus is saying, I'm about to fix it up. But she didn't comprehend what he was saying. She said, I know in the sweet by and by you're going to work it out. But I'm wondering, why did you do something right now? But Jesus was trying to say, I'm going to do something right now. But her head wouldn't allow her to comprehend what Jesus was trying to say to her. And sometimes that happens to us. Jesus is trying to encourage us that he's getting ready to work a situation out. But our head says, up until now, it ain't gone the way I want it to go. Up until now, it's not the way I want it to be. Up until now, my marriage ain't like I want it to be. So it's hard to trust in what God is saying because our head gets in the way. What was, what used to be, what happened on Facebook, what happened last year, all of those things get in our head. They get in our mind and they cloud what God is saying. Let me be real, real clear. You can come to church every Sunday morning and hear what I'm speaking from what thus says the Lord, and your head, by the time you get out the doors, your head will talk you out of everything your heart heard. Because our head, let me see if I can go backwards and go back to when I was growing up. The Ghetto Boys had a song, "My Mind is Playing Tricks on Me." And Scarface and Bushwick Bill was rapping about how your mind will play tricks on you. Let me tell you something. You coming to church won't stop your mind from playing tricks on you. You reading scriptures won't stop your mind from playing tricks on you. But the beautiful thing about life is I don't have to live my life from my mind alone. I can reach deep down in my spirit when my mind won't shut up, when my mind won't believe you. I can pull down on the inside. The Bible says we do with joy draw water from the well of salvation. I don't know how you're going to fix it. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I'm tired of stressing about it. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of thinking about it. I really don't need, and some of y'all wouldn't understand this because y'all saved and sanctified, but tomorrow is 420, and for folk who like marijuana, that's a very big day. 420 is an important day for marijuana smokers. But let me tell you something. My mind is struggling, but I don't need no Mary Jane to pull my mind together. I got all I need down on the inside. He's the hope of my life. I don't have to know how he's going to do it. I don't have to know when he's going to do it. I don't have to know where he's going to do it. I just believe. I got a feeling that everything going to be all right. I can't even explain it to you. I can't tell you how I understand it. But something down on the inside said he ain't bring me this far to leave me. Something down on the inside tells me I'm not going to die like this. Something down on the inside tell me I ain't going to be broke forever. Something down on the inside tell me I ain't going to be lonely forever. Something down on the inside tell me I ain't going to be crying forever. So I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to thank him anyhow. I'm going to pay my tithes anyhow. I'm going to celebrate anyhow. I can't explain it because it's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. That's why we look crazy to folk who know our situation. Why you laughing? I can't explain it. Why you shouting? I can't explain it. Why you praising? I can't explain it. It's something down on the inside. Yeah, something on the inside that's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Some of the stuff you believe don't really make sense for you to believe. I shared it before, just touched on it briefly, but let me say it again. I'm going to talk about Brother Hiley again. When the judge gave him the extra years that was beyond what she should have gave him, it didn't look like we would see him, but he had to believe down on the inside, this is not where I'm supposed to be forever. I don't care what the judge said. I don't care what the lawyer's saying. Something in me says I won't be here forever. And God got in there and turned the situation around. And that's why he's in the building right now. Because I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they told you. I don't care what the job said. I don't care how long you've been laid off. I don't care you got divorced. I don't care what the diagnosis says. When God gets in the situation, he'll prove he still cares for you. Now, there was a song by the Winans, and they would say, what would I know about being restored if I never lost my place?
And what would I know about his mercy if I never got out of grace? And what that means is, if I never got in a hard time, how would I know that he cares? If I never got sick, how would I know he was a healer? If nobody ever died in my life, how would I know he would carry me through grief? So sometimes you got to walk through dark times just to find out how good he really is. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. All right, let's move on to verse 25. Thank you, mother.
Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying."
He said, what you have to understand, I'm the resurrection. So death has no power because I'm here. So even if you go to sleep on this side, if you know me, you're going to wake up on that side. It's just actually a pause. It's not an interruption. So even though your brother's dead right now, I need you to still believe because I am here. Verse 26.
Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?
Yes, this is so important, especially for those of us who've lost loved ones. Because they went to sleep and we no longer see them doesn't mean they are no longer living. As long as they've been introduced to the I am, they don't die. They actually just show up in a brand new form. And that's what gives me hope for the people that I've lost. I done lost a lot of folk, and you've lost a lot of folk, and some of the people we lost are near and dear to our heart. And yes, we miss them, but because they knew the Savior, that makes everything different, and it lets me know that God's going to take care of it. In the end, verse 27.
"Yes, Lord," she told him, "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God."
In other words, she said, "I've always believed." So the belief she had in her heart was struggling with what she was dealing with in her mind. And guess what? I need to tell you that if that's you, that makes you human. Don't make you wrong. We are human people. The belief we have in our heart doesn't always line up to what we have going on in our mind. That's why I said it's okay to have therapists to get some of the stuff out of your mind. It's okay to take prescription medicines to help you calm your mind because you're trying to get down to what's in your heart. I never want what's in my head to block what's in my heart. All right, let me just say it real quick before I move on. What's in your head would keep you from coming to the house of God. If you thought about what's in your head, every time you get up on Sunday morning, you're not happy to get to the house of God. Sometimes it's a struggle to come. Sometimes your body's tired, your mind is tired, but something in your heart says, I got to get there. I got to tune in. I got to log on, because what I'm being fed spiritually is going to give me a balance so that my head won't rule me. I can't allow what's going on in my head to rule my life. I need an anchor for my soul, which is in God. Here we go. Put it up here. The knowledge in your head will try to block the faith in your heart. Now, let's move on to point number four. Here it is again. Our hurt gets in the way. So our head gets in the way, but here's the reason why our head gets in the way: because of the hurt we've gone through in our life. And let me slow down just for a second and make sure I let you understand that some of the hurt you have in your life is not a figment of your imagination. Some folk in church are acting like if you save, you ain't going to go through nothing. No, there's some stuff in my life that hurts. Some people hurt me. Some stuff hurt me. Some things that God didn't do hurt me. Some prayers that I prayed that he didn't answer hurt me. So I don't have to pretend like I'm not hurt. Sometimes we are the walking wounded. Sometimes we are hurting through the things that have gone on. If you've been molested in your life, you don't have to act like that didn't happen to you. That kind of stuff hurts. If you've been abused, if you've been talked about, if you've been lied on, if you've been overlooked, those things are real, and you have to give space for real hurt. But you can't allow the real hurt to stop the real faith that God cares. And so if I can give you a verse that will help you, let's look at Psalms 34:18.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
It says he's actually near the brokenhearted. So the fact that you are hurting and brokenhearted is not a reason for God to run away from you. It's actually a reason that God runs close to you. But what God understands, he understands the ministry of presence. And what the ministry of presence is I don't have to talk much. I just have to show up. And so here's the problem with us. Because God isn't talking and isn't speaking, we think he doesn't care and we think he's not near. But God says, I'm just going to show up. And so I was telling a friend on my job not too long ago, I was telling him how when my father passed, that for a couple days in a row, this red cardinal would just be on the tree by my house. And I seen it like day one, day two. By the third day, I realized it was just a sign that I could take a little hope. In other words, it was the idea of you're hurting right now, and I'm not going to say a whole lot as God. I just need to do little subtle things to remind you that I'm near. Another thing that happened, this is when my grandmother passed, and my grandmother, my father passed 18 months apart, but another friend on my job was telling me about the monarch butterfly and what the monarch butterfly is. And so I looked it up, and it talked about when people die, normally a monarch butterfly would show up. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Well, 2 days after my grandmother dies, I'm walking and leaving the plant to walk out. And all of a sudden, this big butterfly lands right in my path. And I moved, kind of scared me. And I went on and I clocked out. And it didn't dawn on me till later that I had a couple weeks ago read about the monarch butterfly. And here's this butterfly just flying. And if you know how our factory is, yes, stuff can come in, but where I was at, it shouldn't have showed up. But sometimes God will suddenly allow things. I'm not saying God got in the cardinal. I'm not saying God got in the butterfly. But I'm saying he allowed that stuff to come my way just to remind me that he was still near me. He was still close to me. And so I need you to understand, even when it feels bad, God will show up some way, somehow. Somebody say, well, God, if you want to show up for me, show up in the lottery numbers because I need to win something. I don't know how we're going to show up, but I'm here to let you know he cares enough to show up. If he got to get in something just to show up for you, he'll do it. It might be a cool breeze one morning. It might be something. It'll be anything. God will show up. I'm going to tell my mom's testimony for just a second. So when my father passed and I had to get my mother from the airport, she said something that broke my heart, but it was her truth. She said, I flew out there on vacation with my husband and I flew back a widow. Some of y'all know the story. And as I was picking her up from the airport, she said that just out of her truth. And boy, it broke my heart. I'm thinking, yeah, it wasn't supposed to happen like this. Wasn't supposed to look like this, but this was our reality. But when I pulled her into the driveway, and we were not telling anybody that she was home yet, because I wanted her to have a little peace, because saints, even though they mean well, I'm not just talking about y'all, I'm talking about saints across the world, even though they mean well, sometimes they bring more pain than they bring help. And so I just wanted to bring her home quietly. But when I pulled in the driveway, there were two women standing on the other side at the neighbor's house. And just so happened, both of those women were widows. And when I pulled up and I brought my mama there, so here's the, even though I'm her pastor, I couldn't speak to her being widowed. I was broken myself. But when I dropped her off in the driveway, God had sent somebody there to minister to her. And when my mom didn't show up, the woman who happened to be Sister Milburn said, I thought maybe I missed God and I should go home. But she stayed a little longer and began to talk to my mother's neighbor who happened to be a widow. So when I pulled up, they were both there. And my mother ended up going over to them and they hugged her and they prayed for her. Three widows were praying together, giving her what I couldn't give. That was God showing up in the presence. Yes, he didn't heal my daddy. Yes, he allowed him to go on. But he gave her something to let her know, I still care for you. And I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what you've been through. And I don't know what tears you cry. But God stopped me by to tell you he still cares. And there's not a demon or a devil in hell that can stop him from caring for you. He will neither leave you nor forsake you. He'll come in the morning. He'll come in the midday. He'll come in the noonday. He'll come in the midnight hour. He'll come when you're low. He'll come when you're high. He'll come anyway because he's God Almighty. And I just need you to keep trusting the process that God will lift you up. And I know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's the reason why we got to understand that. Let's look at verse 19.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
He gets them out of everything but the big stuff. No, that ain't what it says. It's honest that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let's not pretend like just because we're saved that we are not going to deal with stuff. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then it says, but we'll deliver out of all of them. Every single one of them. He will deliver out of all of them. He will lift you up out of every single one of them. Another quick story as I move on. I remember, and I've shared it before, but I'll share it again because it's so much to me. I remember being around probably 16 years old, and we had a preacher come, and I think he did a revival, and Sunday was the last day. And Sunday morning, he called all the young people up, and he began to prophesy to all the young people. And he was telling them things, and they were shouting, they were crying, they were dancing, and this was my turn to hear what God was going to say to me. And I was so excited to get my word after I'm hearing what all the other kids was doing. And just to be honest, I was probably a better Christian at that time than the other kids. So since the other kids was getting all these good words from the prophet, I was excited. I just happened to be the last one. And when I got up, he looked at me and he looked down and shook his head. I'm thinking, boy, he about to tell me something good. And this is what he said. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm like, wait a second. That ain't what I want to hear. God, tell him something else. Make him say something different. I want to shout and run around the room like everybody else. But he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he said, but the Lord delivers out of them all. And I didn't get happy. But as I've gotten older, and as I've been through many things, as I've walked through many things, I can say, but the Lord has delivered me out of all of them. There's not one thing that has taken me out that should have took me out. There's not one thing that's kept me down that should have kept me down. I've bounced back from everything. I'm like a palm tree. I've been, but I don't break. I'm like a weeble wallow. I sway, but I don't fall over. I'm like a Timex. I take a licking, but I keep on taking. I may not have chosen this for myself, but I can tell you I've got some Holy Ghost tenacity. I can go through the fire and not smell like smoke. I can be in the grave and rise up the last day because the God that I serve, even though he's allowed me to go through stuff, he's never left me by myself. God cares for me. And if God cares for me, I know he cares for you. And if God will deliver me, I know he'll deliver you. And if God will work it out for me, I know he'll work it out for you. And if God will make a way for me, I know he'll make a way for you. You just got to trust God when it's dark. You got to trust God when it's hard. You got to trust God when it's rough. Because God will work a situation out. He's still God. He's still awesome. He's still powerful. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He is the day spring of our hearts. He's the one that spoke the darkness and said, light be. And I'm trusting in the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he showed up on my behalf. I sought the Lord and he brought me out of addiction. I sought the Lord and he regulated my mind. I sought the Lord and he gave me peace in the middle of the storm. I'm here to let you know God cares for his people. Oh, if you believe it, say amen this morning. Come on, I got one more. One more point to go. Here's point number five.
And here's, I'm bringing it all the way down to this. Our circumstances get in the way. Yeah, you excited. Y'all standing, y'all clapping. But a lot of times when you walk out the doors, you got to deal with life on life's terms. And sometimes life is filled with lemons. And they say make lemonade out of lemons, but sometimes the lemonade is sour. It don't always feel like you want it to feel. Our circumstances, yes, they get in the way. Life gets in the way. Now, let me tell you something. I probably could preach better with $1 million in my bank account. I could probably preach better with all my bills paid, probably preach better with all my kids saved and all my family members saved. But sometimes that's not life. Nobody promises that life would be a bowl of cherries. Let me also be honest. Sometimes the deepest hurt you find is right up here in the church. Sometimes the folk that done you the worst, right here in the church, that's the last place you felt like you'd be done wrong. But life be lifing sometimes. Let me be honest. Some of us, we prayed to get a good job. We get a good job, but there's so much hell on the job. Sometimes you wish you didn't even have the job that you had. Because life be life. It, you know, work would be so much easier if they just gave you your check and left you alone. I ain't talking about not working. Some of us don't mind working, but it's all the junk we got to go through just to get a check and all the stuff you got to deal with. And sometimes they just get on my nerves. Have you ever had folk on your job do stupid stuff? And I'm not even talking about the workers. I'm talking about the high level people. You the one running the business. You ought to know better, but you just do stupid stuff. And just sometimes you go to work happy. You clock in happy. You clock out irritated and just bothered for life. Just life sometimes. Oh, look, in Indiana, specifically, just this morning, late in April, we wake up to a freeze warning. I mean, can we just have some sunshine without this junk? You don't know what's going to happen. Have all four seasons in one day. Sometimes all that stuff just irritates you because life, just life sometimes. You ever gone to go somewhere and do something? Just the other day, I believe it was last week, I had my therapy session. In my therapy session, I do it by Zoom on the way that I'm riding to work. And so I decided I'm going to leave a little early and I'm going to grab something to eat. And I'm thinking, what can I do? Get on the road and eat. And so I won't be crunching in the ear of my therapist. I was like, I know what I can do. Just down the road for me is Popeyes. So I'm going to go down and order me something at Popeyes. And they was like, first of all, what I asked for, we don't have. Number one, they got a big fish sandwich on the sign. And so I asked for the fish sandwich. We don't have it. We'll take it off the sign. What I wanted to say, but I'm trying to be right. I'm preparing for therapy. I'm trying not to be too upset. And so I said, go ahead and give me the shrimp basket instead. And so I got the shrimp basket and I'm driving on down the road. And then I got to thinking, well, let me pull over so I can eat so I won't be crunching in my therapist's ear. That was the whole reason why I stopped. And when I opened up the bag, there wasn't shrimp in sight. Chicken tenders. I didn't ask for chicken tenders. First of all, I asked for a fish sandwich. Couldn't get that. I took the shrimp and you didn't even put shrimp in there. So then I thought maybe I'll just eat the chicken tenders. They taste like rubber. And I'm like, good God. So I turned back around, went back, wasted all the time I had left early to do all I needed to do. Because guess what? Life, just life sometimes. And then when I pull up to the window, I told them they gave me the wrong thing. Well, let me see. Now I want to get an attitude because just trust me. I don't want these rubber tire chicken strips you gave me. But I'm trying to be calm. So I just opened it up and said, this, you didn't give me what I asked for. And so he said, I'm sorry. And so then he gets me on my way. So now I get on back down the road. And one little thing that frustrated me, I got one of them dry biscuits and they didn't leave me no honey. Just at least put
put some honey in the bag. You know you're going to choke me to death with this dry biscuit. And you ain't giving me no honey. It should be against the law to serve Popeye biscuit without honey. So sometimes it's the little stuff that'll set you on edge. But guess what? That's just life. John 16, 32. Read this. Coming to a close.
But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me.
This was Jesus telling his disciples basically about the fact that he's getting ready to go to the cross and all of y'all going to leave me. But then he said, but the Father is with me. Let's put this up here really quick. The Father with me changes how I see the circumstances around me. Even though things can sometimes be bad, knowing who's with me makes all the difference. That's one thing that the Bulls players would always say about Michael Jordan. If he was on the team, you weren't going to lose easily. He was going to do everything to make sure you win in the end. I may be losing in the first, second, and the third quarter, but because the Father is with me, I'm going to hold the trophy at the end. I just got to hold on. I'm telling some of y'all, you just got to hold on. Let's look at the next verse, verse 33.
I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world.
He never promised us we wouldn't have trouble, but he promised that we can take heart. We can be encouraged even in a discouraging moment. We can have courage because I've already overcome the world. And the overcoming is a simple word. I've already come over the world. I've already come over the obstacle. If there's a trial, I've already stepped over it. It's trouble. I've already stepped over it. And because I'm in you and you're in me, when I stepped over it, you stepped over it. When I jumped the hurdle, you jumped the hurdle. When I rose from the ground, you rose from the ground. So I'm telling you ahead of time, it's not going to be a bowl of cherries. Folk going to disappoint you. Life going to disappoint you. People going to walk out of your life. Folk going to die around you. But I'm here to let you know, if I'm in you and you're in me, you still going to win in the end. You still are victorious. You still are going to be okay. It may not be okay, but you'll be okay. Here's the conclusion. And here's one of the final words I'm going to say. God doesn't care that I have troubles. Hold on, Pastor Andre. You done preached this whole thing about God cares to come to the conclusion and have the nerve to tell me that God doesn't care that I have troubles. What do you mean? Let's put it back up here. I'm going to say it one more time. God doesn't care that I have troubles, but let me make it make sense. Go to the next one. He only cares that the troubles don't have me. Oh, that's it. See, he don't care that stuff come my way. But because he's already paid the price for me and I belong to him, the stuff that comes my way, it can't have me because God has already claimed me as his possession. So even though I'm losing, loss can't have me. Even though I'm depressed, depression can't have me. Even though I'm addicted, addiction can't have me. Even though I'm grieving, grief can't have me. Even though I'm broke, broke can't have me. Poverty can't have me because God has his hand on me. And as long as God has his hand on me, I'm going to be all right in the end. I promise you I'm done, but I got to say one thing that I always say all the time. Here's the thing. If you put a tennis racket in my hand, it's just a tennis racket. But if you put the same tennis racket in Serena Williams' hands, it's $1 million making tennis racket. It all depends on whose hand it's on. And as long as my life is in the hands of the master, I'm going to be all right. If I'm in Andre's hands, it means nothing. But when I'm in the hands of the Lord, God cares for me, and he won't leave me like he found me. He won't leave me down in the dumps. He gonna make me better than I've ever been before. And like I told you last week, the best is still yet to come. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. God cares. Yes, he does. Here's the final confession. And those of you out there online, just type in the comments, God cares about me. All right, repeating after me, Father God, in this season, I will have faith in your care and concern for me. I don't have to do things on my own because you've got me all taken care of. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, you do care for us. Even in some of the worst tragedies of our life, somehow we're still here because of your care for us. And God, let us be a beacon light of hope for others who are going through. Let us let folk know that even when it's dark, you still are the light. And the one thing we know, that only the light can expel the darkness. And so, God, we're praying that you are bringing light out of our lives in every nook and corner and every cranny. You are making things sure and true in our lives. And we thank you for it forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Have a great, wonderful, and marvelous week. We love you.